welcome to this week's episode of Don't Go Broke Trying. I am your host, Renny, and on this podcast, we teach you how to not go broke trying to live your best life. Today, I have a very special guest on the podcast and a really exciting episode for all of you. Today, I have Temi on the podcast. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited for you to talk to us. Maybe you can introduce yourself to the audience, please.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Temi. I'm a wedding planner. I'm also a wedding officiant. I'm based in Oakville, but I'm licensed to officiate weddings in all over Ontario. But I also plan weddings all over Ontario, Canada, the UK, and Nigeria, and wherever weddings take me.
Yeah, nice.
That's where I go.
Nice. I'm very excited to talk to you today. And the reason that I wanted to have you on the podcast is because I guess I'm at that age. I'm 26, so a lot of my friends are getting married right now, and I see some people going the route where they spend a lot of money on their weddings, tens of thousands of dollars. And I see other people going the opposite route where they just go to the courthouse and have a very small wedding. And I don't know, there's a lot of discourse online, especially about podcasts. I actually saw a post, and I'm sure you saw it too, where somebody had a wedding for, I think it was under $500.
Yes, yes.
It was on the side of a highway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. they bought their dress for $47.
Yep.
And they made all their guests pay for their own food.
Right.
And to me, I was just like, the Nigerian in me, although I'm not someone who really cares about weddings, I was just like, I don't like the style of this wedding.
Right.
But I know that weddings are really expensive, and I want to make sure that people don't go broke trying to have their weddings. That's why I brought you on this podcast to tell us all about it. I know you have a lot of experience planning both very elaborate weddings more budget-friendly weddings. So
right.
I'm excited for you to tell us all about it, and maybe how we can all save on our weddings as well.
Right.
Yes. So when I start off all my episodes, I actually like to start off with a Renny rated segment.
Right.
Which is essentially asking you what product or service or song or anything that you're really liking right now. So feel free to plug something that you're really liking right now.
Right. I'm actually really liking your podcast right now.
Honestly,
I love your podcast.
Thank you.
I love your post. I'm going to say that you transformed my saving habits.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not joking. I love your podcast. It's what I'm raving about right now. I'm getting my kids to listen to it religiously.
Thank you so much.
You for the great job you're doing.
Thank you. I'm blushing. If I could blush, I'd be blushing right now. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure.
I'm very excited to say this podcast is brought to you in partnership with Lemonade Finance. If you don't know already, Lemonade is the platform I have been partnering with for over a year now, and they are doing the damn thing when it comes to sending money internationally. Lemonade is a mobile app that allows users in Canada and the UK to send money to Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Senegal, Benin, Cameroon, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Kenya at zero fee. Yes, I said zero fee. And not only are there no fees, but the transfers are sent in minutes. People I've sent money to in Nigeria have received funds in just 1 or 2 minutes. It's really quick. You can use my referral code EXILRENNY to sign up. And if you're in Canada, you'll get 10% cash back when you make a single transfer of 100 Canadian dollars or more to supported African countries. If you're in the UK, you'll get 10% cash back capped at £50 when you make a single transfer of £100 or more to supported African countries. And if you're not in Canada or the UK, don't worry, I didn't forget you. They are growing rapidly and will likely be in your country soon. Again, if you want to sign up, you can use my code or you can use the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. Okay, so I want you to tell us a little bit about your business. When did you start as a wedding planner, and what is your business right now?
Thank you. So my wedding planning business is called Tea and Toner Events, mm-hmm. Connoisseurs, very long name. Mm-hmm. And basically the name is coined from I have two kids, a daughter and a son, and the first letter of my daughter's first name and middle name, my son's first name, that's where I got the name from.
Nice.
I am a wedding planner. I plan large weddings and big weddings, any wedding. I'm passionate about weddings. So to me, your budget is insignificant. Mm-hmm. I got into weddings in 1997 when my best friend was getting married.
Nice.
But even before then, I've always been, like, my mom would tell me, like, right from when I was five, I was all about weddings. I was the star little bride and the flower girl. Everybody wanted me in their wedding. Because even when I was younger, I would be the one coordinating, like, the big bridesmaids, you know.
Wow.
You know, I wanted everyone to stand well. I wanted everyone to smile. I wanted everyone to make the bride's day beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I've always loved weddings. But the first official wedding, and I became a wedding planner before wedding planning became a thing.
Oh, nice.
My first wedding was in 1997. I didn't get paid for it. It was my best friend getting married. And, you know, she was having issues. I was like, no, we can't do things like this. And so I took it upon myself. She had a picture of what she wanted, like a very fairy tale wedding. And I was like, okay, this was back in London, England. And I was like, okay, I know, you know, a big church in, you know, central London where you can get your, you know, your dream wedding. And so that's how I, you know, became a wedding planner. But nice. At the time, it wasn't a thing. So I wasn't getting paid for it or anything. I did so many weddings I didn't get paid for. But it was my passion. It's always been my passion. And I remember a number of years ago, a friend of mine said to me, why don't you turn this into a business? Because you're very good at it. And I was like, oh, I don't think people would, because it wasn't a thing at the time. Mm-hmm. Nobody, like, you know, new wedding planners. So then gradually, and I don't only plan weddings, I plan social events as well. So, you know, it became a thing. I took it more seriously as a business when I moved to Canada. Mm-hmm. I moved to Canada just under 11 years ago. And then I thought, okay, you know, there's a need for it because I could see the gap in the market from the UK and Canada. That's mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm going to, you know, take this seriously and, you know, make it more formal. So that's how
nice.
I became a wedding planner.
Nice. That's amazing. It's like you were born for it,
yes.
basically.
Yes. Since I live dream. Thing like get me talking about weddings and my eyes just pop.
I love that. And I love hearing from people who love weddings because honestly, I don't love them so much. Like I love being a wedding guest, but I've never been the person who dreams about having a wedding or anything like that.
Right.
So I really like to hear from other people who like love weddings
right.
Did you have a really elaborate wedding for yours?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I was that kind of bride that I wouldn't want to have. I was my own wedding planner.
Okay.
I had a huge wedding. I got married. We got married in Nigeria. I insisted on getting married in Nigeria. And for me at the time, it was because I'd lost my mom.
Oh.
And she was married in Nigeria and I wanted to kind of be near her. And so mm-hmm. we got married close to Christmas. So I had a huge, large wedding.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the weddings in Nigeria are huge, right?
Yeah.
I think my parents said they knew basically no one at their wedding. Like it was just a bunch of guests, you know.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. I mean, my friends flew. I was lucky enough because my close friends flew with us to Nigeria to get when we got married. But I mean, the guests, I'd say 99.9%, they were like family members who, you know, uncle's wife and this, that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay. So we hear about wedding planners all the time, but what does a wedding planner actually do?
Right.
Like I hear about wedding planners. I don't really know. I think I have an idea and it's a relatively new concept, as you said. So what does a wedding planner actually do?
Okay. So a wedding planner is your project manager.
I like that.
A wedding planner is your financial advisor because we work on the budget.
Mm.
A wedding planner is your wedding therapist because you do a lot of that because you will hit a roadblock
mm-hmm.
from time to time. A wedding planner is your counselor. A wedding planner is like your the venue. You liaise with your the venue and the vendors. You're the researcher. Like you take the wedding from an inspiration to reality.
Ooh,
so
like
you're
that.
Like your the vision board and the vision executor. So that's what a wedding planner does.
I like that. I really like that. Vision board and vision executor.
Yes.
I think that would be really helpful for someone like me, for example, who does not like planning that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be like, take it all.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
Nice. And how much can we expect to spend to use a wedding planner?
Right.
Are they really expensive? Okay. Like, how does this work?
So that's a really good question and a very controversial question
mm-hmm.
that most people don't like to answer.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I think the price range, it's a broad range,
mm-hmm.
especially in Canada and in America as well. And simply because most people charge based on the experience.
Okay.
However, I'm the opposite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of, and I know a lot of wedding planners listening to this may not like me for this, but anyway, that's because weddings are it's my passion. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily about your budget. I always want to listen to what you want, and that way, and I charge based on that. So I have a scaling charge.
Okay.
That's so to speak. So not to say that if you're having a 25 guest wedding, I would charge you, $20 and all that. So the range at the moment from my research and from speaking to colleagues in Ontario, especially, because I mean, things are more expensive in Ontario than anywhere else in Canada, mm-hmm. or maybe BC.
Yeah.
But it starts from a range of $2,500, and it can go up to $20,000.
Wow.
Some people charge on a percentage base. So it depends on the percentage of the total budget or the total expense. Because obviously sometimes the budget exceeds the budget. Mm-hmm. So they will charge you from 10 to 20% of your total expense on the wedding.
Oh, wow. Yes. That can be a lot of money. Okay. Yeah.
But I also had add in that there's a difference between a wedding planner and a wedding coordinator. People get that wrong.
Okay.
Like, or get it mixed up. So a wedding planner, like I say, takes the dream from, or the couple's dream to the execution. Mm-hmm. A wedding coordinator could be hired for the month of the wedding. So you've planned your wedding, you have everything, everything booked, and then a month before the wedding, or even a week before the wedding, there's the all day off coordinator. That's becoming more common now, where people, want to save money, but they need help on the day because they don't want their friends running around on the day. So I just want to chip that in, that there's a difference between a wedding planner and a wedding coordinator.
Okay.
So your wedding coordinator will cost you, I've seen on Facebook Marketplace, people charge $100.
Okay, I think they should be charging a bit more.
Yeah, for sure. Because, an average wedding will be, last for 10, 12 hours. Because you're setting up before, and then afterwards, you're the first one then. So
a wedding planner, if I understand correctly, would be the one doing, as you said, the budget, helping you source different vendors and
things like that. Yes.
But then a coordinator could be day of, month of, week of,
yes.
and they would just help everything that you've already planned.
That's
they
right.
help it to come together.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that makes sense. Like if you, maybe you're good at planning, mm-hmm. not like me, but if you're really good at planning, you would just hire a day of coordinator
yes.
who can
yeah.
on the day come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's very interesting. And
yeah.
that could help you save some money.
Yeah. Sure can. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. And so do you do both services or do
I typically don't do wedding coordination. And when I have done it, I've done it month of or 6 weeks before.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I wouldn't do a day of coordination or a week of coordination because the wedding is, in as much as people say, I don't want a big wedding, but it's your special day.
Yeah.
And, we all hope and pray that it's just that one time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't feel comfortable taking on a day of coordination.
Yeah.
But I have done a few month of or 6 weeks wedding coordination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Month. Day of sounds a little hectic
yeah.
to me. Yeah.
yeah.
And so how would they work with you if it was a month of coordination? Like, would they be reaching out? So they tell you everything that they planned and then you're finalizing everything
yes.
the 6 weeks or month before?
Yes. So
okay.
I'm following up with their vendors, making sure that, what they have on paper is what they understand. Cause that's usually an issue, maybe they, the event starts at 10. And as a wedding planner, I know that the vendor maybe has a track record of being late
mm-hmm.
or, the wedding vendor lives in Mississauga and the wedding is in Barrie, for example,
mm-hmm.
and it's in December and they booked the photographer to arrive at 10, but anything can happen. So I'm there to kind of, be their eyes and say, okay, just to let you know,
yeah.
I would advise. And sometimes they may have to incur, extra expense.
Yeah.
But it's better that way than being late
yes.
or things happen.
Or the photographer misses your wedding. Yeah. Okay. Good to know. I didn't even know there was a difference between
yes.
that. So that's very helpful. Hopefully everyone's listening and taking notes. So how much is the average wedding costing in 2022 right now? What should we be budgeting?
Right. An average wedding in Canada
yes.
in 2022, I would say, is costing around $30,000.
Ah, oh
yes.
my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of the full-blown wedding,
yes,
ceremony and the reception. Mm-hmm. But having said that, there are ways around it.
Yeah, of course. So $30,000, and that's including everything, all paying for all the vendors and everything.
Yes.
Okay.
Whew. Excluding the honeymoon.
Because when I think of these things, I'm like, okay, $30,000, I could. That's a big chunk of a mortgage down. A down payment for a house. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But I guess if it's something that you really want, exactly. $30,000 is maybe nothing to you. It's like, this is worth it, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. And what about if you do a destination wedding? Is that a similar price or what can we expect?
It is a similar price.
Oh.
Yeah. And also, it obviously depends on the destination.
True.
Because a lot of the popular destinations are quite expensive. They're a lot more expensive and they're very restrictive as well.
Yeah.
Like bringing in your own photographer, for example, they will charge you because they have their own, in-house.
Yes.
And they want you to use the in-house.
Oh, yeah.
And like if you're going to a destination and you don't feel comfortable with, the photographer or the work, you want someone from, that you've probably done your pre-wedding shoot with and you feel comfortable with, you like their work and all that. So that will, so surprisingly, people find it hard to believe, but destination wedding doesn't necessarily mean a cheaper wedding or that it will cost you less.
Yeah, my friend, I'm actually going to my friend's wedding in Mexico in 2 days. And but she also thought, it's a destination wedding. It's going to be cheaper because she also thought, they would be able to keep the guest list smaller because a lot of people will not RSVP. But almost 90% of people are like, "Yep, I'm coming."
Yeah,
vacation. We've been in COVID for 2 years.
I'm ready to travel. That's what's happening now as well. And also, even local weddings, people haven't been out to weddings for so long, and so people are like literally begging couples to be invited to their wedding. It's unreal.
Yeah. So she wanted to bring her makeup artist from here,
right?
And then the venue said, okay. It's $850, or if she were to find a makeup artist locally, it was $850 to bring her onto the resort for that 1 day. And her, she's Indian, so the wedding's like 4 days long.
Yes.
So imagine $850 each day. She might as well just pay for the person's hotel stay, right? And then just have them stay on the hotel for the week that we're there. So I think people don't really consider all those factors when they're having a destination wedding.
And also with destination weddings, you want to entertain your guests because they're paying for their travel and all that. So you have to put that into consideration. So the money you're not paying locally, you're going to be paying for, I don't know what, people do all sorts of things, like maybe rehearsal dinner or maybe splash on the dinner or do a tour, like a touristy thing. Yeah. So you will be.
That's a good point too, because you want to make sure your guests are having fun while they're there, right? They flew all the way there for you.
Yeah.
Because for us, the first day we have like an all white party where we're going to be on the beach and doing. Then we have another party. They're trying to keep us entertained.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even think of all of these expenses. Mm-hmm. Very expensive.
Yes.
Okay, so another thing I want to ask is if you could tell us some of the most budget-friendly weddings you've done and how much it costs, and then also some of the most elaborate weddings that you've done and how much it costs.
Okay, thank you. So the most budget-friendly wedding that comes to mind was pandemic-driven.
Yes.
It wasn't meant to be the most budget-friendly. Mm-hmm. However, the couple had changed, they've had to cancel their dates a few times. And they decided, this time they were not going to, postpone anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we just had the traditional, it was a Nigerian wedding. We had the traditional wedding at the same location as the church wedding, but we couldn't have a reception. But what we did was, obviously, we had the traditional. It was very intimate, the most intimate traditional wedding I've ever planned. And then we had a break, and then we had the church wedding. And I was also the officiant, so it was kind of like two for the price of one.
Nice.
And we gave out food boxes to the guests because we couldn't at the time. There was no reception allowed in Ontario. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was budget-friendly for them, but it didn't start off like that. So that was the most budget-friendly wedding I've done.
Are there any pre-pandemic that were super budget-friendly?
The one I can think of, it was because they were going to have a big thing in Nigeria. So they just had like, you know, an intimate wedding. This is before intimate weddings became a buzzword, you know, and that was also because their parents were not here.
Okay.
So they wanted to honor their parents. So they did like the legal wedding and had a reception for their friends. And then they went to do the bigger wedding. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
So they still, but then at least the parents were the ones paying for the one they had in Nigeria.
Yes, yes. And then what about some of the most elaborate weddings that you've seen? Like that you've planned? Yes.
I have done weddings that have cost, they've spent well over $250,000.
Oh yeah. My, in Canada?
In Canada, yes.
I'm shook. That is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Wow. And what is that type of wedding? Like, what are they spending money on? Is it just maybe a super nice venue? And then, because I know venues can be really expensive.
Yeah.
And then the dress, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And
the food.
Okay.
And obviously for most of the weddings, so my niche wedding is Afro Canadian weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I do other ethnicity as well. So we're doing 2-day weddings.
True.
Yeah.
So it can get expensive.
And it can get expensive. And the guest count.
Because
more guests you have, you're going to have to spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
So the venue is the venue and food.
The two biggest costs
that, you know, absorb the money in the biggest budget wedding I've done. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. $250,000.
Yes.
That is a lot of money.
Yes. Yes.
But I guess if it makes them happy and if they enjoy their day, then it's
worth
it for them.
And I would chip in and say that a lot of parents are funding the weddings.
Ooh, I hope my parents are listening.
Yes. I would say 99.9% of my couples.
The
weddings are fund not necessarily 100% funded, but I would say 90% funded by the couples.
By the parents,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of your couples are Nigerian or African, right?
Yes.
So I think that's a very African thing to do, right? I don't know if, I know a lot of my friends that are not Nigerian, their parents are not contributing.
Right.
So maybe.
But having said that, I have done weddings that are non-Nigerians, and so it's not just a Nigerian or black thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the cultural background.
Yeah.
It also depends on the parents as well.
True.
Because a lot of the parents feel like, you know, I don't want to say obliged, but I guess that's the only word I can think of, because you kind of, a lot of, you know, you funded the education, you kind of think, okay, that's the next step.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to knock the parents, because they're not just spending on the wedding, they're also investing in their future as well. Because I have a lot of my couples, their parents will fund the wedding, but also give their kids some money to start off, like maybe, a down payment or whatever. So it's not just splashing out. And sometimes the reason why they're funding a wedding is probably their only daughter.
Yeah.
Or their own, you know, first daughter or the first grandchild to get married. So those kind of sentiments. So it's not just a Nigerian or African thing. It's, I don't know whether to say the trend or the generation thing.
Wow.
A mixture of both.
Yeah. I wonder if my parents will be doing that for me. Because they've never spoken about it. So I wonder. I wonder. So I guess I have the question about, is there a way that a destination wedding can help us save money? Or I know you say it's they can be pretty much equal or even more for a destination.
Yeah.
But is there a way that a destination can
definitely
help you save money?
Okay. I would say a destination, think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be Cancun.
It doesn't
have to be, sorry. I have nothing against Cancun. It doesn't have to be Punta Cana.
Yeah.
I think the way people will save money on destination weddings is doing something new.
Mm.
I'm passionate about my couples not doing the same old thing. I love, not just couple, I mean, my social events as well. That's me. I'm like, does it have to be, you know, Hotel X or, you know, Hotel Y? Because your friend got married there.
Mm-hmm.
Can we look at other venues? Can we look at, you know, other destinations? There's so many lovely destinations, you'd be so surprised, that are not as popular, and so they're cheaper, because obviously it's not, you know.
Yeah. I guess when I think of destination, I guess it's a burden on your guests though sometimes, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's my only thing about destination. I like the idea because maybe a lot of people may not come because it's expensive, yeah. But then it's also, it's very expensive on your guests as well. Yeah. So something to, I guess, consider.
Think about, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Do you have any tips or tricks to save money with vendors? Like if I were to tell, I was helping my friend with her wedding once and we wanted to like tell the vendors that, okay, this is not for a wedding. This is just for a party, for example. Because she found that once she told them wedding, the price went up significantly. Yeah. So are there any tips or tricks you can give us? Or is that a good tactic to not tell them it's for a wedding?
No.
Okay. I thought as much.
Yeah. Because they will find out sooner or later. Mm-hmm. A good tip. Mm-hmm. It sounds like I'm putting a plug in, is hire a planner.
Yeah.
They
have the connection.
Hire a wedding consultant, because we also, like, a wedding planner can be a wedding consultant. Ah. Like, you can hire a wedding planner to start off your search, for vendors, and then you can decide, okay, you know, but be upfront about it. I have to debunk this myth that hiring a planner makes your wedding more expensive. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like we have relationship with vendors. Mm-hmm. And so for me as a planner, like I said, I'm so passionate about weddings. Any discount that my vendors give me, I pass on to my couple. Mm-hmm. I'd rather, if you're giving me a 50, because I give you repeat business, I'd rather pass it on to my couple and my clients, like my social events. So hire a planner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least have a wedding consultant that will give you tips and hints. Because the way I recommend vendors to my clients is based on the budget. Okay. So I have like photographers that in the middle range, mm-hmm. and then the lower range. Mm-hmm. And then so depending on what you tell me that your budget is, I will recommend the vendor. So that will help you save a significant amount, surprisingly.
Yeah. So you can, basically a wedding planner, or you specifically, let's talk about you. You can work with any budget basically.
I do.
Yeah. So it makes sense to go to you and then you can find the vendors that are within your budget.
Right. Yeah.
Good tip. I like it. Okay. I know that another expense that people often spend a lot of money on is the flowers. So that's what I've heard, at least. I'm not sure. So are there any pro tips that you can provide us with to save money on flowers?
Yeah. Forget about Pinterest. Please. Because the reason why I say that is, seeing the picture and having the picture in your mind, it just doesn't, like, I always say you can't have a haddock budget and want to have caviar. But tips to saving money on forget Pinterest. Consider silk flowers.
Silk?
Yeah.
Oh,
false flowers.
Oh, okay.
There's so many beautiful silk flowers arrangements. You can even rent your bouquet now.
Oh.
Yeah. You can rent, obviously not fresh flowers, because you can't rent that. But you can get really real looking beautiful silk flowers, and you can rent them.
That's a smart idea.
Yes.
And are there any other things that you can rent that you can tell us? Like, could you rent your wedding dress?
Yes,
your
you can.
What else? I don't know.
I haven't heard of ring rental, but I'm pretty sure you never know in this day and age. There might be people out there that are willing to rent, but I wouldn't advise you that you do that, because a ring is significant. But you can rent your cake?
Huh?
Like, because they're false cakes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, okay, how does that work? So you would rent the cake that is in the pictures and everything, and then they would cut up something for the back at the back to give
to you. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Hmm.
And you don't even have to rent the cake as well, because a lot of depending on what you want, if you wanted like an 8-tier cake, it could all be false. And it'd be decorated for you, and it would look, because you're only, it's, for the cutting of the cake.
Yeah.
And then a lot of venues will have desserts, so you don't necessarily have to
cut the cake. Oh, that's so smart. Anything else you can rent that you can tell us about?
The groom's outfit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
Good tips. I'm liking them. Mm-hmm. And then are there any mistakes that couples often make when they're planning their weddings?
A lot.
What is the biggest regret or the biggest mistake that you see often?
I think the wedding venue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not, it sounds biased, but not having a planner look, booking your venue before, if you're going to have a wedding planner, booking your venue before your planner, that's a big mistake. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a wedding planner, I would highly recommend that you hire your wedding planner before, because we work with venues. We can see, like, things, even from the site visit alone, you can see, like, because you've spoken to the couple, you know what they want, you can see this how one. It's not going to, you know, work. So that's a big, 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 and then not being, like I said, not earlier on, not being open to your vendors about, you know, your expectations or, you know, what the hours will be, or not being realistic. Because a lot of people undercut and think, okay, I only want the photographer for 4 hours.
Yes.
But you're not, you know, your time management is poor. And yet you're expecting the vendor, the photographer, to wait for you for 2 hours getting ready. They're going to deduct it from the 4 hours, and so rightly
and
they
will
should.
Leave when they
and
leave.
They will leave
after you've done.
Yes.
I'm sure that happens a lot. And I think it's really important that you emphasize that the wedding planner can see things that you cannot see.
Yeah, we're the specialists.
Exactly.
Like, reading between the lines.
Yeah.
And another mistake that I've seen people do is hiring their friends.
For, like, as different vendors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe expecting them to overlook things and not pay for things. It's a no-no.
Yeah, like hiring a friend as a photographer, maybe.
Yeah.
I can see how that would not turn out the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how you emphasize how you are the specialist, you are the expert, so you can see things that we can't see. Mm-hmm. It's just like when I went to purchase the house and I made sure to go with a real estate agent real estate agent, I went to one house and I thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And my real estate agent was like, you know, that type of AC is going to cost, or heater is going to cost you a lot of money in the summer. It's not worth it as a rental property. Or this, I see that the kitchen is this old, you're going to have to replace it. Or the roof, you're going to have to replace it in 3 years. And I was like, oh, okay. Thank God they noticed these things. Yeah. So I think it's the same with a wedding planner, right?
Or for example, changing your oil yourself rather than taking it to a workshop. I know people who do it, but I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, rely on the experts.
Yes.
And I guess that's a big tip about how to not go broke. Mm-hmm. Rely on the experts.
Yeah.
Let them do what
they
do.
In the process of trying to save money, you're probably you're ending up spending more money, and then you have to remedy it at the end of the day. So,
Rely on the experts. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess this is kind of the same as you just answered, but my last question, because this is Don't Go Broke Trying, is if there's one piece of advice you'd give to listeners so they don't go broke trying to have a wedding, what would it be?
Have a budget.
Yeah.
I always emphasize on the nice, would nice to have or must have. Have a list. Mm. Like, you know, it's nice to have a stretch limo. That's the only thing I can think of right now. Or a 10-tier cake. Like I said, is that a nice to have or a must have? Mm-hmm. A must have is obviously a venue. And a venue could be your backyard.
Yeah.
You can, you know, have a beautiful wedding in your backyard. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, in a local park. Obviously, get the permit from the city before you do that. But so have a list and sit down with the couple. Sit down and have a good, you know, discussion, because the groom probably has something that they've always wanted in their wedding, you know, and the bride has something. So reach a compromise and stick to it.
That actually brought me to another question that I have. So I want to ask you, what are some things that people are really splurging on right now? And what are some things that people... Or things that we should splurge on, and then things that people should not definitely, like, waste their money on.
Right. I would say splurge on your photographer. Mm. Splurge on your videographer, because that's going to be your memories. Splurge on music, if you can. Food. People will always remember your wedding. People won't remember your decoration. They won't remember your dress. But they will remember what experience they had in terms of food. So, splurge on that. Things not to splurge on, like I said, the wedding cake. And I'm not knocking wedding cake. Wedding cake, you know, it's like, I'm going back to my previous point, must have, nice to have. Mm-hmm. If a wedding cake is your dream, then splurge on it. Mm-hmm. But for me, splurging on wedding cake, desserts, things like maybe even the wedding dress.
True, it's yeah. once a day. Yeah, you're only going to wear it once,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe rent your dress. Maybe find it on consignment. Maybe shop sample sizes. I see a lot of...
Yes, sample sales, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
How do we find these sample sales?
A lot of them... your wedding planner has tips.
Oh, yeah.
And also online. And like you said, samples, go to bridal stores. And, you know, sometimes they have, you know, the maybe a bigger size, but they can alter it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes getting your wedding dress made could work out cheaper.
Good point. Yeah. I see on, like, when I watch Say Yes to the Dress, for example, I see some of them spending like $15,000 on a wedding dress, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can never imagine spending that much money. So good to know there are other options that we can
use. But some people resell too.
Oh yes, good point. Yeah. Do wedding dresses keep their value often when you resell them?
No.
Yeah. I would think
no.
Yeah. So, and then another question I just thought of was actually, so I know that you are not only a wedding planner, but you're also an officiant.
Right.
So is there a way, so is that another way to save money if we go to an officiant rather than going to the courthouse, or how does that process work?
Yes. So going to an independent officiant saves you money. A lot of the town halls they charge, not a lot, all of them charge more than an independent officiant will charge you. So that will save you money. Also, you can opt, like, for example, I have two packages. Like, I do simple ceremony and I do like an elaborate or a full-on ceremony. So you can look into that as well. Mm. So there are options out there.
So typically, just in case anyone doesn't know, typically how does it work? So you would go if I went with the town hall, how would that work?
So for every wedding in Ontario, and it's different all over Canada, but in Ontario, you have to apply for a license.
Okay.
Thankfully, the pandemic has kind of pushed the government. Now you can apply for it online.
Oh,
and
nice.
The prices vary from town to town, which is, I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
But, so I would say save money by searching online for the cheapest town. It doesn't, you don't have to get your license from Mississauga. If you live in Mississauga, you can go to Caledon, you can go to Peterborough, you know, you can go, and now you can apply online, but you do actually have to go in person. One of you has to go in person to give your documentation so they can see it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, shop around. You don't have to stay in your local town for your license. So you will have to get your license first of all. And then look for an officiant, you know, an officiant that has a religious, you know, aspect to it. I do religious and non-religious. It depends on the couple. So, search around. But the town hall do charge more, for sure.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. See, we're dropping gems. I hope everyone is learning. And also, I want everyone to remember that your wedding is just one day, but the marriage is the most important thing. Yes.
So. I do. Yeah. I do completely agree with you.
Yes.
There's life after the wedding.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and dropping all these gems. If somebody wanted to hire you or just learn more about your services, how could they find you?
I'm on Instagram. My wedding planning is Tea and Toner Event Connoisseurs on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So please,
Okay, perfect. I will leave that link in the description box and the show notes, just so that it's easy for people to find.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And in our next episode, everyone, we're going to be answering the questions that you submitted. So make sure you tune in next week, where we'll answer all of the questions that you submitted about weddings. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye, everyone. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something new that will help you not go broke. If you like listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you're listening, and leave us a review. You should also share the love. We don't believe in hoarding knowledge over here, so if you learned something, take a screenshot and share this podcast on your Instagram story, tagging at Don't Go Broke Trying and at XLRennie. I would love to reshare. You can use the hashtag DGBTPod on Twitter to continue the conversation, And if you have a dilemma or a question about money that you would like answered, please email us at dgbt@rennytheresource.com. This episode was brought to you by Lemonade Finance. Use my code EXORENNY for 10% cash back. This episode was produced by Pascal Adeshina with music by Wonder Girl.